Well, it's great to be together this evening, and it's great that you've been able to come and share in our carol service. Great to have the Lindon Wind Orchestra here, as well as the St. Patrick's Choir. And I'm really looking forward later on to the mince pies, mulled wine, and tea and coffee for those of you who are driving home tonight. Thank you very much for being here today. Well, as we think about Christmas now, just for a few moments, I want us to think about how we can go deeper into Christmas. What it means to go deeper, maybe what it is to get to the deepest place possible in Christmas. But before we do, at this time of year, especially this year, I think, I've been reminded of my childhood and singing carols as a boy. And in particular, the habit, which doesn't seem to be so common now, of changing lyrics to carols. I don't know whether you remember this, any of you older people. Things like, while shepherds wash their socks by night, or watching ITV, the angel of the Lord came down and switched to BBC. I don't know why the angel of the Lord thought BBC was better than ITV. I generally thought the films on ITV were better. Or good King Wenceslas last looked out on his cabbage garden, bumped into a Brussels sprout and said, I beg your pardon. Or we three kings of Leamington Spa, one in a taxi, one in a car, one on a scooter beeping his hooter, smoking a long cigar. One of my favourites is actually a real one, which a kid thought this really was it. To Away in a Manger, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet Ted. Which, I know, that's going for the sympathetic moment. But I was also in a lot of choirs as a little boy. I was a mean treble. And there was one, which we don't sing actually, but it was quite a traditional carol. And it had the refrain at the end, O highly favoured lady, and us kids used to sing Oh Highly Flavoured Gravy so much that we could hardly sing the right words when it came along. The number of times we had Oh Highly Favoured Gravy or Highly Flavoured Lady, which is a more bizarre one, were untold. But what it has meant on the upside is it has always meant that one particular reading has always chimed with me, which is the one from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 1. When the angel comes to Mary and says, greetings, you who are highly favoured. And as we think about going deeper into Christmas, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go through that lens, that doorway of understanding what it means for Mary to be highly favoured. Favour here means where God looks on her with favour and brings his blessing. Because that's kind of what we all want this Christmas, isn't it? We want blessing. A blessing where good things come to us from God. So we're going to look at what it means to go deeper into Christmas by thinking about what it means for Mary to be highly favoured. But before we do, I want us to think, well, what do most people expect from Christmas? What do most people hope from Christmas? And there were two experiences in this year which highlighted this for me. One actually was what happens every year whenever you go to a school carol service or Christmas concert, whatever they call it. I used to love the one of our children's school. The headmaster was fantastic. He was a master of the ambiguous praise at the end of the concert. I don't think he meant it ambiguously, but we all found it very amusing. He would say, that was a truly remarkable evening. And he was right. We were remarking about that evening for a long time afterwards. Or he would describe it as a unique performance. And we would think, well, I hope so. Or he would say, that was a truly ambitious program. But the one thing which he said, and which every head teacher said at every children's carols concert, school carol concert that I've been to, is this. I always think that Christmas starts at the, add school name in, carol service. And I understand why they're saying it. So that's kind of what we do. That conjures up maybe one image of Christmas. The other one this year for us as a family has been a much darker one. And that was to receive the news about a month and a half ago that one of my sisters has got inoperable cancer. And as part of that, I've been phoning around a number of people. And I was talking to one person working for a company, and I had to explain the circumstances, and they were really lovely. They said, I am so, so sorry. And then they said, and particularly at this time of year. And that got me thinking. I thought, I'm really touched by what you've said. But I think you've said something which isn't quite right. And if you like, where we're going in this talk is to work for me to have the opportunity to say what I wish I'd said to him before I put the phone up, down. But both of those moments sum up the same view of Christmas, and it's a lovely view. It's a lovely view of Christmas. It's where we paddle around in the shallows of Christmas. It's the idea of Christmas as being Christmassy, as sort of being magical, and being for children, with lights everywhere, some of them really quite a lot of them, with joy and laughter, with family having fun around a table. It's a lovely escapism. If only we can reach escape velocity. Because that's the challenge of that. It's great when things are going well. But what happens when your troubles are so great that the Christmassy feeling can't get up enough speed to achieve escape velocity? And instead, despite all your efforts, it keeps coming crashing back down to earth. And even if we do have a successful Christmas in that sense, January still comes around. We still go back to school or work. The February weather comes in. Well, what Mary shows us, when we understand what it means for her to be highly favoured, is that when things are hard at Christmas time, that doesn't ruin Christmas. That's what Christmas is for. That is what it means to be truly Christmassy. That's when we go deeper into Christmas. So let's think about Mary and what it meant for her to be favoured by God. She gets this news from the angel that she is pregnant, that she's going to have a baby. And we easily think, well, that's the blessing, isn't it? What great news. It's a lovely picture. And we all think of a nativity and Mary looking really chuffed that she was chosen over all the other girls in school or in church. But that lovely idea of a mother cradling a baby, and that is true. But interestingly enough, Mary's response initially is much more cautious. We're told that when the angel says, you who are highly favoured, that Mary is troubled. She's troubled. Well, she's troubled because of the news of the baby. That's a problem for her at all sorts of levels. It's a social problem or relational problem because she is unmarried, and in that culture that would bring disgrace and rejection. It's a medical problem, because in those days, childbirth was very dangerous. And it's a political problem, because they are going to have to leave their homes and travel in uncertain times because of an oppressive regime. It's a troubling visit. And you've got to ask the question, well, where is the favour here? Where is the blessing? And it gets worse, actually. Mary, the birth goes well. And Mary and Joseph take the new baby to the temple, partly to thank God for the baby. I think also to show the baby off to all the relatives and everyone go goo, goo, goo and gaw, gaw, gaw. And then she meets this mad prophet. And he says this from God. This child is destined to cause the rising and falling of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. That's not really what you want to hear about your child. But then he goes on to say this. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. And then the fulfillment of Christmas will be seen when Mary finds herself at the death of her son. It is a terrible thing to survive your child. How much more when the scene of their death is one of agonizing torture. But there is favor in that. There is favour, there is blessing in the midst of it. She had, in a sense, an awful Christmas, but there was blessing and favour in it. So that she will sing, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you want? You want to have a view of Christmas that is so deep that even when troubles come, your heart still sings. Though your eyes weep, your heart still rejoices. Or why is that? What is this deeper insight into Christmas that Mary sees? Well, it's there. My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. She will go on to talk about how God is going to save his people. And he's going to save the world. He's going to set everything right. He will bring down the proud and he will lift up the humble. He will fill the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty. He will set things right. In that sense, he is God, the Saviour. But she also knows that he is God, her Saviour. Just as today she is saying he can be God, your Saviour. So suddenly this transforms the troubling news, because however troubling it is, she knows God is for her. And she knows that because of her son. She knows, and she will see what she doesn't yet know, that that Christmas baby would win mercy. Forgiveness for everything she's done wrong. Forgiveness for everything his people have done wrong. That Christmas baby in the Easter time would go to depths that we can never go to. So awful. So that we could be saved. That is the deeper Christmas. That is why, if you are going through a hard time this Christmas, that is, Christmas is for you. But there is the deepest experience of Christmas. And we see that by how Mary responds to the angel. I am the Lord's servant. Literally, the language is, I am the Lord's slave. This is the language of surrender and submission. You see, you can't say God is your saviour and then think you'll just get on and do your own life. When you find a saviour, you cling to them. And it is after this that Mary's heart sings. So yes, we can enjoy Christmas. We can paddle around in it and have a lovely time. And if that's you, bless you. But don't miss out that there is more. If you are going through a hard time this Christmas, know this. You're not going to miss out. That you are what Christmas is for. You are what Jesus is for. We will never be more truly Christmassy than when things are hard, when we feel knocked down, abandoned, afraid, and troubled. Because that is what Christmas is for. And then we can go deeper still. We can respond by surrendering. As it says in O Little Town of Bethlehem, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. So this is what I wish I'd said to that man. I wish I'd said thank you so much. And thank you for caring. But it isn't going to ruin my Christmas. This is what Christmas is for. It is for such a time. So don't worry about our Christmas. We are going to celebrate it better than ever before. Because we have a Saviour. And he is my Saviour. And he can be your Saviour. And maybe today, this is the day when you want to make him your Saviour. Then do. Ask him to save you. Ask him to rescue you this Christmas. We're going to give out a book as a present on the way out. Just helps you go deeper into Christmas. Do enjoy it. Take it as a gift from us. And if you want to know more, then contact us, because we'd love to walk with you as you go into next year, going deeper into Christmas. Amen.